Good morning. Our lives are often full of clutter. Whether it is physical stuff in our houses that gets in the way. I don't know about you, but there are some days when I get home and I have like piles of stuff throughout my house. Anyone else have like dumping grounds? Like there's a corner where all the kids' bags get piled, and there's a place on the counter where the mail seems to pile up for days and days and days. And there comes a breaking point where we just say, ugh, I need to get rid of the mess. I need to get rid of the clutter. I can't push this off any longer. It's not just physical stuff, though, that gets in the way. Sometimes our lives get so far away from God that it's cluttered with things that we really need to get rid of. Worry, fear, doubt, control, bitterness, envy, lust, pride. These things get in the way so that there literally becomes a physical barrier between us and the cross. Over these next few weeks, these 6 weeks of Lent, 6 weeks in Lent, I guess, we are going to be talking about ways in which we can declutter our lives a little bit. How we can make room for God. We believe that God is already in us, that God works through us all the time. But sometimes we clutter up that space and don't give room for God to work. Our Bible begins, if you open it up, in what chapter or what book? Genesis, right? If you open it up to Genesis, you read about the creation, and then shortly thereafter, you figure out how humans screw things up. We read a familiar story. We have these two people living in a garden, and they are fully in communion with God, right? There is nothing separating them from God. They can live fully and abundantly. The only thing they can't do is eat some fruit off a specific tree in that garden. And suddenly the serpent comes along, right? And its sneaky little voice says, "Here, Eve, eat the apple," right? And so the one thing they weren't supposed to do, they did. And they were cast out from the garden. Separated from God by the mess that they had created from temptation. They had one rule, right? That they weren't supposed to bend or break. Have you ever heard the expression, rules are meant to be broken? Have you ever heard that before? Yeah. We are people who like to bend rules a little bit. We like to push boundaries. Speed limit's 45. How fast do you travel? 50, right? I've discovered we are in an interesting time in our house known as the terrible twos. And boundaries are getting pushed every single day. Emmy, you can have one vitamin. No, two, Mommy. Or I say, we need to go potty. I do it myself. Everything is about independence and control over her own life. We are born this way. We are born desiring control over our lives. To have a say in what happens to us. And it's really hard for us to submit and say, okay, God, I'm going to live by your rules. I'm going to live inside your boundaries. We clutter up our lives by trying to have too much control over the stuff that happens to us instead of giving it over to God. We enter our biblical text this morning in, are we in Luke? Yes, right? Right? Am I right about that? One of those gospels. This story is found in two of the four gospels. It is found in Matthew and Luke. It's not mentioned in John at all. And Mark gives us just a little bit of a phrase. It says in Mark that Jesus was out in the desert, or out in the wilderness for 40 days. Satan tempted him, wild beast kept him company, and angels awaited on him. That's it. That's all Mark says. But then when Matthew is written after Mark and Luke is written, and they use Mark as kind of a source to write their gospels, and they take from other sources, they expound upon this narrative a little bit. And see, all this clutter is getting in the way. And we get a conversation in Luke between Jesus and the devil. Between Jesus and Satan. And it shows us something quite interesting about Satan, and that Satan knows his Bible, right? Satan knows the Word of God, but Jesus knows it too, right? Jesus knows, not only knows it, but Jesus knows how to use it. How many of you have heard this biblical story before? Jesus, wilderness, being tempted. I must say, it is probably highly unlikely that any of us will be thrown out into the physical wilderness of a desert and be denied food and water for 40 days, right? And have only the Spirit to rely on. Can you imagine that happening to any of you, realistically? So we don't need to talk about this story, right? Because this is never going to happen to us. Jesus is strong. Because Jesus is the Son of God, right? Jesus is divine. Jesus can stand against the devil. And Jesus will not fail. He has promised food, land. He's even promised the ability to fly, right? This is, if you jump off the building, angels will catch you. You could fly. I don't know what I would give for the ability to fly. That'd be pretty cool. But Jesus stands against that temptation. But if you go back to Adam and Eve, it only takes an apple for them to mess it all up. And I think that that's true of us. We don't have to be in this extreme wilderness for temptation to befall on us. We can be going about our everyday lives, and we can be tempted by a buffet. And just as easy as that, we can turn away from God. Even if we know this, we don't always live this. Over these next 40 days, we're called to live this a little bit more. We're called to give up something to make room for God in our lives. Now, the Spirit leads Jesus out, right? It says in Luke, Jesus is filled with the Spirit, it says. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. All of us have the ability to be full of the Spirit. All of us are being led by the Spirit. And Lent is a place where we are led. We are led to a wilderness where we are called to give up our pacifiers in life. Emerson was a huge pacifier user. When we first got here, you noticed she had a little stuffed animal with a pacifier attached? It's called her Wubby, her Wubbanub. She was insane about her Wubbanub. And on New Year's Eve, we said, Emerson, your New Year's resolution is you are going to give up that pacifier. No, Mommy, I can't do it. It's hard to give stuff up. Jesus gives up food, right? For 40 days. It was hard. He was famished, right? It didn't stop him from being famished. We hear right there in Luke at the end of it. He was hungry. He was hangry, I'm sure, a little bit. Sacrifice causes discomfort. Man, can't give up my daily Coca-Cola. Whew, I would be a monster. I just can't do it. But Jesus says, yes, you can. You can give up the stuff in life that makes you uncomfortable. It's not going to kill you. I had to tell that to Emerson over and over and over again. It's not going to kill you to not have your pacifier, right? What pacifiers do you have? What things bring you comfort in life but distract you from the cross? Maybe it's control. I sat in a meeting this week planning a camp. And it seemed all of us had our own ideas about how things should go. And I realized that maybe I needed to give up a little bit of control, right? I needed to take a step back and let others do the work. I think that is so challenging for us to let God in. To let God take the reins sometimes and guide us. Because so often we think our way is the best way. Jesus could have easily said, you know, it's not that big of a deal if I just go make a sandwich, right? Man, maybe I can just leave here and get a night in the Days Inn down the street just so I can have a comfortable pillow to lay on. Just one time, right? But the discomfort is what brings Jesus closer to God. And so over these next 40 days, we often talk about what is it that we're going to give up. Has anyone thought about this yet? Anyone? I want you to think about that for the rest of this week. What is it that you can give up? And it shouldn't be something that's convenient. It shouldn't be something that's going to give us, like something we were going to do anyway, right? Like, I really need to give up fast food because I have all of these other reasons for that, like it's going to help me lose weight and be in better shape and all that kind of stuff. I mean, that's fine if that's what you want to give up. But the reason should be, this is going to make me a little uncomfortable. And in the midst of that discomfort, I'm going to rely on God. So that's your homework. Find what it is for these next 6 weeks that you're going to give up. In these next 6 weeks, how are you going to make your life a little uncomfortable? Let go of some of the control and give it back to God. Let's pray. God, this morning, as we come together to worship, as we come together to pray and to seek your presence, God, we live in lives of comfort. We do everything in our power to make life as easy as possible. We have drive-throughs and reclining chairs and cushion mats on our kitchen floors. But God, this season, you call us to get a little uncomfortable. And we ask that through our discomfort, oh God, that you would be with us. That we could give up some control and give it back to you. God, let us declutter our lives and make room for you. God, we love you and we praise you in the name of Jesus. Amen.